The Lord Rishingadev with Lakshmi. Jaya Nrisinga. All glories to Lord Nrisinga. Jaya Jaya. Again and again, glories. Nrisinga. Nrisingadeva. Pralada Isha. To the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj. Jaya. All glories. Padma. Of the Goddess of Fortune. Mukha Padma. Of the lotus-like face. Bringa. The bee. So, translation. All glories to Nrisingadeva. All glories to Nrisingadeva, who is the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj, and like the honeybee is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the Goddess of Fortune. So you can repeat, all glories to Nrisingadeva.
All glories to Nrisingadeva.
All glories to Nrisingadeva.
All glories,
who is the Lord of Prahlad
Maharaj.
And like the honeybee,
is
always engaged
in
beholding the lotus-like face.
The Goddess of Fortune.
The purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Goddess of Fortune is always embraced by Lord Nrisingadeva. This is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first and tenth cantos by the great commentator Srila Sridhara Swami. The following verse was composed by Srila Swami in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 87th chapter, text 1. Avagisha yasya varane lakshmir yasya cha vakshasi yasyaste ridehe samvit tam nrisingamaham bhaje. Lord Nrisingadeva is always assisted by Sarasati, the goddess of learning, and he is always embracing to his chest the goddess of fortune. The Lord is always complete in knowledge within himself. Let us offer obeisances unto Nrisingadeva. Similarly, in his commentary on the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1, Srila Swami describes Lord Nrisingadeva in this way. Valada hridayaladam bhakta vidya vidaranam sharadindu ruchim vande parindra Vadanam Harim. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Nrisingadeva, who is always enlightening Prahlad Maharaj within his heart, and who always kills the nescience that attacks the devotees. His mercy is distributed like moonshine, and his face is like that of a lion. Let me offer my obeisances unto him again and again. So, Sri Nrisingha Jaya Nrisingha Jaya Jaya Nrisingha Paladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Pringha. So Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the context of this particular part of the Srimad Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels to the different holy places in South India. And particularly, he visited three places which are all in a state of India nowadays called Andhra Pradesh. Andhra Pradesh is famous because they're practically all devotees of Lord Nrisingadeva in Andhra Pradesh. It's a very special state dedicated. And there's three places in particular that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited. The first place is being described here. This is called Singhachalam, which is right near Vishakhapatnam. Those of you who have gone with us on our South Indian tour, I think there's only one devotee here with us, that's Sadhvi, are familiar with Singhachalam. Singhachalam is a very wonderful place. There's a deity of a combined Lord Nrisingadeva and Varaha there in Singhachalam. And what this deity is covered all year long by sandalwood, except for Akshaya Tritiya, which he becomes uncovered. So Basically, if you go to see this deity, the deity looks like a Shivalinga. And it's in a very deep temple in the mountain. You remember this of it? And they're offering like tons of tulsi leaves and manjaris and everything like that, bunches like that, to the deity. And you're circumambulating the deity. It's like in a cave. And Prabhupada described that this deity is kind of covered by sandalwood just to keep his head cool. Because he's generally angry at the non-devotees. So when Prabhupada actually went there, he said, yes, they do that, so he'll remain cool-headed. So the Muslims, there's an interesting story about this temple. The Muslims one time wanted to attack this temple, because many of the temples in India, especially this temple, have quite a bit of wealth. I mean, there's one temple in South India, they just discovered like tens of billions of dollars worth of jewels in it. In the hidden compartments. I'm not going to tell you where, if you want to go there. So the Muslims wanted to attack, so a great devotee of the Lord prayed the Lord, Sukadev, to protect the temple. And then there's a swarm of like metallic hornets. You know what hornets are? You know, one hornet's bad enough. We had, of course, Mother Krishna Priya almost died one year from a hornet here, a yellow jacket. And so there was a swarm of these metallic ones, you know, really big ones that attacked the Muslim army and drove them off. So Lord Nrsimhadev, interesting story. It's a true story, actually. So Lord Nrsimhadev protects his devotees in many different ways. Another temple Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited, of course, the Singhasanam is called Jayada Nrsimha, means victories to Lord Nrsimhadev. May the victories go forth. And another temple is Mangalgiri. And you probably remember this, Sadhvi, too. This is a very wonderful temple. It's a self-manifested deity of Lord Nrsimhadev from a mountain. So Giri, of course, means mountain, and Mangal means auspicious mountain. So Mangalgiri, just like we have Giri Govardhan. I mean the mountain of Govardhan. So in this Mangalgiri in Andhra Pradesh, has anyone been there besides me and Sadhvi? No, no one here. I'll probably, Golokananda Priya has probably been there. So there's Mangalgiri, there's the Lord Nrsimha is coming out of the mountain. I mean, he's part of the mountain. That's why it's called Mountain Mangalgiri. And he's also called Pani Nrsimha. Because what they do is Pani means like water. So they have this sugar solution that they feed Lord Nrsimhadev, and he drinks half of whatever you pour into his mouth, and the other half doesn't go in. I mean, even if you poured like 10,000 gallons, 5,000 would go in. And 5,000 just, you know, they'd come out of the mouth at that particular point. So it doesn't matter how much you put in, half of it goes in, you know, half of the container that you're pouring in, and half of the container comes out. And what comes out is actually prasad. So the devotees are joyfully taking this, like sugar, really heavy.
Jaggery,
yeah. Do I have some? Yeah, I got some. Now I don't have some. You know, it's been years ago. So the devotees are joyfully taking this the sugar water and getting intoxicated. And also, there's a cave. There's a cave by which the demigods come down right next to the temple. And I have pictures of this. I tried to find them last night. I couldn't find them. Anyway, by which the demigods come down, it's like a cave. So I actually tried to go up the cave when I was there and go to the heavenly planets, but it didn't work because I didn't have enough pious activity. So the demigods were just like just Tree Shanku. You know, they sent me back down to the earth planet. So, and it's also a deity of Vishnu lying down on the side. Do you remember that? There's three things, the temple of Pani Nrsimha, and then there's the cave by which the demigods come down to worship Lord Nrsimhadev. And then on the other side, there's the Lord Vishnu who is lying down. It's, It's also, it's like a replica of the Sri Rangam deity, where he's lying down with Lakshmi there. Has anyone seen that? You've seen that, Sabi, didn't you? You don't remember. Anyway, so that's one another place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited. In each one of these places, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed imprints of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the third place was, of course, Hobalam. And Hobalam is actually a very isolated place. You didn't go there, did you, Sabi? No. Only on another trip we took the devotees there. When Sabi was with us, many of the devotees, I didn't go the second time, because it's a very isolated place. It's not in the... It can actually be quite dangerous going at night because the dacoits block the roads and they steal from people. So you have to really go early and then come back. And there's a place to stay overnight, but it's very, very primitive. So there's Upper Hobalam and Lower Hobalam. Hobalam. They pronounce it Hobalam. Actually, the right Sanskrit pronunciation is Hobalam with a V instead of a B. But in any case, there's nine Nrisimha deities there. And this temple is thousands of years old. And supposedly, there's the Ugra Stamba, the pillar. Ugra means like horrible or frightening. There's the pillar from which Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared. And devotees who are very intrepid, they climb all the way up on this mountain. And they go all the way to the top, and the top of the Ugra Stamba. There's one video that was put out by ITV that shows a young boy going through all the different temples. And so they have nine Nrisimhadeva deities, and each Nrisimha has a different mood. Like there's the Ugra Nrisimha, who's that's like, very angry and ferocious. And there's the Shant Nrisimha, very peaceful, giving you blessings. He has his hand out like this. And there's Yoga Nrisimha, where Nrisimhadeva is doing yoga postures. So those of you who study yoga can actually worship that particular manifestation of Lord Nrisimhadeva. Well, what happened here? Okay. So I forget the other deities, and there's all these old caves as you're climbing up the mountain, where you see the different deities of Lord Nrisimha, very ancient deities of Lord Nrisimhadeva. Quite a wonderful place. And even the pillars, those of you who saw my slideshow a number of years ago, and I have it on the computer and I haven't been able to find it, even the pillars are carved with the various pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadeva there. Every single pillar is an intricate carving of the Lord's pastimes. It's pretty interesting. So, of course, one can say, I know there's an argument was made by one particular devotee, that Lord Nrisimhadeva didn't appear on the Earth planet, so why do they have all these things? But the point is that there are local replicas or manifestations of the Lord's pastimes. For example, you know, we have Goloka Vrindavan, which is a replica of, Gokul, we had a replica of Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So the Lord manifests these things in various ways. There are many holy places. For example, here in New Goloka, it's the same Krishna on the altar here. It's not that the Krishna in Braj is actually more of a Krishna than the Krishna on the altar. Sometimes people think like that. They think, you know, I have to go to see Radhasham Shunda. Of course, Radhasham Shunda are very nice, are very wonderful. But Radha Golokananda, Radha Shamsundar, they're non-different. And when you go to a localized holy place, like any of the ISKCON temples, Prabhupada said they're Vaikuntha, then it is like going to a holy place in India. And sometimes devotees think they have to go visit all these different places. Prabhupada actually said, in regard to Vrindavan, our Krishna Balaram Mandir, that one can simply stay there. He doesn't have to go on parikrama. He can just like, here, and these prophets said, all the holy places are contained within Krishna Balaram Mandir. Because generally, when Prabhupada was on the planet, devotees were going out, and they wouldn't even go to Prabhupada's classes. Sometimes they would go out, and on parikrama, instead of going to Prabhupada, staying back and going to Prabhupada's classes. And of course, when Prabhupada was there, then one should definitely hear from him. And even Prabhupada's godbrothers, there's that story where the Shira Dakshai Vishnu, the devotees were on parikrama with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they were near this deity called Shira Dakshai Vishnu. I've seen that deity in Vrindavan. And they made an announcement that anyone who wants to go see the deity can go, and anyone who wants to stay back and hear Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur can stay back, and Prabhupada stayed back, showing the importance of hearing, because if you hear from a pure devotee, then you're already in a holy place like that. So, anyway. So in any case, so even if Lord Nrsimhadev didn't have his pastimes on the earth planet, these places of remembering Lord Nrsimhadev are not different from those places. Does everyone understand that? It's a very important point, because we had a discussion with some devotee about that. And Lord Chaitanya visited there, and Lord Chaitanya recognized those places. And Lord Chaitanya is God, non-different than Lord Nrsimhadev. So, getting on with class. So why did Lord Nrsimhadev appear, and what is the purpose of us worshiping Lord Nrsimhadev? Of course, we know when the Lord comes down, he comes down for his esoteric and exoteric purposes. Exoteric means, as Krishna describes in the Gita, Vritranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chadushkrutam. I come to annihilate the miscreants, to protect the devotees, establish religious principles. That's exoteric. And as Prabhupada many times explained, Krishna doesn't have to come down to do those things, because those things can be done by his energies and his devotees. Just like you see, Prabhupada was perfectly capable of giving us pure devotional service. At least I didn't directly come in contact, at least in this life, with Lord Chaitanya. But coming in contact with Prabhupada, we got Lord Chaitanya. So that's the exoteric reason. But the esoteric reason is perhaps more important. Like we hear about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's esoteric reason for appearing, and esoteric means his own purposes that are hidden from most people. So his purposes were that he really wanted to see himself from Srimati Radharani's perspective, from his devotee's perspective. And also he wanted to enjoy devotional service, because a devotee enjoys more than Krishna does. And also he wanted to understand Radharani's love for him. So this is esoteric. So as far as Lord Nrsimhadev appeared, or Krishna appeared as Lord Nrsimhadev, because he wanted to enjoy a particular ras. Like there's ghastliness, anger, which are indirect rasas. There's mukya rasas and gona rasas. Mukya means direct rasa, like shanta, dasha, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. And the gona ras means the seven indirect rasas, like adbhuta, shock, or ghastliness, or humor. Of course, Lord Nrsimhadev wasn't exhibiting the humor ras. I don't remember any pastimes where he was humorous. But it was ghastliness, and anger was exhibited by Lord. I mean, it's pretty ghastly having your intestines ripped out. And sometimes people would come into the Los Angeles temple, we'd have a gigantic picture of Lord Nrsimhadev with Hiranyakashipu on his lap, and he has a garland of intestines, and people would say, "My God, what's that?" And then devotees would say, "That is God. It is my God." You understand? They would say, "My God." And they'd say, "No, it's my God." So people have a hard time understanding that. But the Lord enjoys these things. I was in Australia, New Zealand, Fiji recently, where they enjoy this game called rugby, which is pretty gruesome and gross. It's like watching a bunch of gorillas attack another bunch of gorillas. And of course, you had the Romans would sometimes feed Christians to the lions, right? Not to Lord Nrsimhadev, but to ordinary lions, and in the Colosseum. So that desire to have these like really gruesome pastimes or gruesome entertainment. I remember even one time I went to see a sannyasi and he was watching wrestling on TV. I won't mention who it was. But anyway, It was called Ultimate Wrestling, where there were no rules. Yeah. And I said, this is enjoyable. I said, yeah, it's interesting. So, so Lord Nrsimhadev, so that desire is actually natural in the heart because it's coming from the Lord. Aham sarvasya prabhu matat sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from Krishna. So if we have some desires in this world, so he manifests these desires in a wonderful way. And of course, when he does it, it's not cruel. When we do it, I mean, if you watch even American football game, it's cruel. People are calling each other's names. They hate each other. You know, it's really horrible. But Lord Nrsimhadev didn't hate Hiranyakashipu. He loved Hiranyakashipu. Actually, Hiranyakashipu was his devotee. But even when the Lord kills a demon, he's doing it out of love. As we're reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's equality towards all living entities, demons and devotees alike. Whatever he does is out of compassion, and the demon gets liberated. So, but when the Lord wants to fight, he actually wants to fight basically his devotee. He doesn't like it so much just to fight an ordinary putrid demon. So therefore, he arranges for his devotee to come down. Just like when Krishna was present, one ordinary demon tried to fight with him, and Krishna didn't want anything to do with it. I mean, there were several ordinary demons. One was this Kalyavana, and Krishna arranged for Muchukunda to kill him. Krishna just ran away from him. Even with Jarasandha, Krishna didn't just like dirty his hands with Jarasandha. Krishna ran away from him so many times. And ultimately, he taught Bhimsen how to kill Jarasandha by splitting him off in the middle, like a wishbone effect. Like the demons, sometimes they have a turkey, you know, they think Thanksgiving, and they have the wishbone to make a wish to split the thigh bones of an animal. Isn't that gross? I remember that. They said, make a wish, dear. Split the bones of this animal. I mean, that's really Rakshasa. It's almost like Ravana would do. You know, Ravana, let's split the bones of a human being, make a wish. So, anyway, so Krishna arranges for ordinary demons to be killed some other way. But when a demon is a devotee, Krishna has this, that's another indirect rasa, chivalry. You understand? So like when Lord Nrsimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, he didn't just like, okay, dead guy. He could have done that. But he wanted to have a chivalrous encounter, just like when in the case of Varahadev, he was killing Hiranyaksha. If the demon dropped his mace, or even if Farah dropped his mace, the other party would wait until they picked up his mace. In other words, they wouldn't fight in an unfair way. I mean, this is chivalry. That you have two soldiers, just like before the battle of Kurukshetra, they vowed, of course they broke this vow, to not fight in an unfair way. If there was another charioteer, he would fight with another charioteer. If he came off the chariot, the other charioteer would wait till he got back on the chariot. So in this way, it was always a fair fight. So when the Lord fought Hiranyakashipu, these other demons, Hiranyaksha, he observed rules of chivalry, or etiquette. It wasn't just, you know, it was like an ordinary boxing, you know, hit below the waist. Of course, sometimes Krishna encouraged his devotees to not follow the etiquette, like when Bhimsen was told to hit Duryodhana below the waist. But Krishna generally follows these rules of etiquette, and he enjoys himself in that way. So that's the real reason for Krishna coming down as Lord Nrsimhadev, to enjoy this, the indirect rasa. And sometimes the indirect rasa takes over to such extent it becomes more important than the direct rasa. But the indirect rasa is only temporarily manifest. The direct rasa is always manifest with a devotee. So the direct rasa that Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha had with Lord Nrsimhadev was a rasa of servitude, dasha rasa, because they were jaya and vijaya. You understand? That was the direct rasa. But that direct rasa became overpowered by this indirect rasa of anger and ghastliness, so that the pastime could take place. It's very interesting how these indirect rasas become so powerful sometimes that they actually cloud or overcome the direct rasa. So interesting, isn't it? So anyway, so that's the reason Lord Nrsingadev appeared. So as far as we're concerned, Lord Nrsingadev's appearance to us is very important for several reasons, like Prabhupada instructed us to pray to Lord Nrsingadev for the health of the spiritual master, for the health of the Krishna consciousness movement, to protect the devotees, etc., like that. And in addition, Lord Nrsingadev fulfills a very important purpose in our own lives, you know, to protect us against us, our real enemy. And our real enemy, as they say, you know, I've seen the real enemy, and the enemy is us. You know, our real enemy is ourselves, you know, our anarthas. Kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, bhadyavaya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, These things are torturing us. I mean, we have Aranyakashipu in our hearts. Of course, Aranyakashipu means, you know, soft bed and gold. So we want like a water bed and a, just like the devotees got me some, you know, space age foam bed. You know, sort of Aranyakashipu Maharaj. Anyway, so, and gold, you know, enjoying wealth, like that. So these things are actually impediments in devotional service, what one, like Lord Chaitanya says, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundari, Kavitam, Bhav, Jagadisha, Kamaya. Dhanam, of course, means wealth. So when one has these things, they actually impede one's consciousness. So basically, our consciousness is becoming impeded because we're not renounced enough from this material world. We're attached to the amenities of this world. And so that's what Hiranyakashipu is. He was so attached to the amenities of this world that he took over the heavenly planets, and he still wasn't happy, it's described. Even though he was able to control the whole world, and you know, desires are like that. Avritam Gyanamaitena Gyanino Nichabhayana. Kamarupena Kontya Dushpurena Lencha. They never are satisfied. So even if you have the whole world, how are you going to be satisfied? Lord Vamanadeva preached that point to Bali Maharaj. When Bali Maharaj said to Lord Vamanadeva, whatever you want, I'll give you. And he said, I just want 3 steps of land. And Lord Vamanadeva said that. And Bali Maharaj says, that's not intelligent. That's pretty stupid, guy. Because he was had etiquette. He said, I can give you anything. I can give you a wife. A nice wife. I can give you land. I can give you a country. I can give you a village. I can give you anything. And then Lord Vamana replied that if one wasn't satisfied with 3 steps of land, he'd never be satisfied with the whole universe. Which is really interesting. Because you're never going to be satisfied. So that's our Hiranyakashipu in our hearts. That we want more and more and more and more. And that's making us more and more unhappy. Bhukti mukti. Siddhi kam, sakalaya shanta, Krishna bhakta nishkam, ata eva shanta. If one wants bhukti, sense gratification, mukti, liberation, or powers in this world, then he becomes ashanta, or not peaceful. And if someone is not peaceful, how can you become happy? If the mind is agitated, how can you be happy? I mean, if you think of the times when you're in anxiety, how can you be happy if you're in anxiety about something? You need peace first. Peace is the foundation of happiness. Of course, in the spiritual world, you don't have peace. But that is different. In the spiritual world, I mean, there's no shanti, except if you've got shanta ras. But for the rest of us, there's anxiety all the time. You know, how to protect Krishna, like Mother Yashoda, she's in anxiety when Krishna jumped on the head of the heads of the Kaliya serpent. And it's so much anxiety. The gopis are in anxiety that Krishna's going to hurt his feet because he goes out barefooted to take care of the cows. Even when she tells him to take put shoes on his feet. He says, no, the cows don't have shoes. Why should I have shoes if the cows don't have shoes? I'm not better than the cows. They're walking barefoot, barehooved. So there's anxiety in the spiritual world. So in any case, we have these anarthas. So we pray to Lord Nrsingadev to get rid of these anarthas. And it's interesting in the pastimes of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, gave him a deity or a mantra to Lord Nrsingadev, and also a deity of Kurmadev. And the reason is that he gave him a deity to Lord Nrsingadev so that Lord Nrsingadev would destroy anarthas in the heart. Of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't have any anarthas in his heart. But still, the example was that's how we should pray. We shouldn't be praying to Lord Nrsingadev, please kill my enemies. Prahlad Maharaj never prayed like that. He never prayed, please kill Daddy. Daddy's causing me trouble. Please kill him. Prahlad Maharaj was on the platform of Yatashatru. That means someone whose enemy is never born. According to Lord Kapiladev, the quality of a Vaishnava is Tadikshava Kurunika Suradas Sarvadainam Agyata Satchara Shanta Shatava Sadabhushana. A Vaishnava is peaceful, tolerant, merciful, a friend to all living entities, and he has no enemy. So in spite of Prahlad Maharaj, this is very important, being attacked by Lord Nrsingadev, by Hiranyakashipu, he never hated Hiranyakashipu. Never. Never was there an instance of any animosity towards his father. He definitely understood his father was a cruel person, but still he didn't hate him. He didn't pray for the Lord to kill him or to hurt him. What happened is even after Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Nrsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj was praying for his welfare. That's the compassion of a Vaishnava. He said, please help my father. He said, when Lord Nrsingadev offered him everything, Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't have any desires. I'm not a businessman. But please, my heart is filled with compassion for the conditioned soul. So please help my father and help the other conditioned souls. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's attitude. So we should pray to Lord Nrsingadev for our own advancement, because these things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy are impeding our happiness, are impeding our connection with Krishna. So today we should take advantage of this and pray to Lord Nrsingadev. So these are some of the points we wanted to make in class. We only have about 1 minute left. This evening we're going to be telling the pastime about the pastimes of Lord Nrsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj, and I have some special stories that nobody has heard from the Nrsinga Purana. Because the Nrsinga Purana is an Upa Purana. Upa means lesser or younger, like Upendra, like little Indra, or the younger brother of Indra. Upendra, that's Lord Brahma today. So we have 18 major Puranas, like the Bhagavad Purana and the other Puranas like that. And the Nrsinga Purana is one of the Upa Puranas. It's called Upa because it doesn't have all the same topics as the Mahapuranas, like the Srimad Bhagavatam. The topics like creation, subsequent creation, manifestation, devastation, all these different topics that make a Mahapurana. So the Nrsinga Purana has some interesting stories about the pastimes of the Lord. Not only pastimes of Lord Nrsingadev, but pastimes of Lord Vamana that we don't ordinarily hear. So this evening we're going to be telling the story, have a slideshow, but telling some extra stories at the same time. So any questions or comments? We got about 1 minute left. What?
No. She asked if there was more time, but the kitchen and interest didn't.
Yeah, so it'll be on time. Yeah.
I just wanted to know, this prayer that we chanted
We chanted this morning. Maja Lila, chapter 8, text 5. Maja Lila, chapter 8, text 5. And it's actually from Lord Nrsimha, it's from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, it's probably from the Puranas. I mean, I would assume that Lord Chaitanya was chanting a prayer that came from the Puranas. Although I don't have the exact reference here. But the many great devotees have made up prayers for Lord Nrsimha, just like we have the prayers from Sridhar Swami in the purport. And then there's a place in Europe called Nrsimha Kshetra, which is in Germany, which they chant this prayer every morning when they're greeting the deities. You've been there, right? Nrsimha Kshetra? No. You've only been to Avantor. Anyway, so I've been to Nrsimha Kshetra. They have the peaceful Lord Nrsimha Dev there. Nrsimha Kshetra. It's right on the border with Poland. And the reason it was established on the border with Poland is because that time it was the Iron Curtain there. And the idea of Lord Nrsimha Dev was supposed to protect us, protect Western Europe. You know that story? No. It was supposed to protect Western Europe from the communist demons. So, and so that's why Eastern Europe was liberated, because Lord Nrsimha Dev was in Nrsimha Kshetra. He appeared to the communists and destroyed them. Interesting story.